Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report and a company update in this daily editorial from Enduro Metals Corp, a trade on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ENDR and on the OTC markets under the symbol SIOCF. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Cole Evans. Now, Cole, hey, we finally have some drill results coming out of the Golden Triangle. Your company, Enduro Metals, you guys just released a single drill hole from this Newmont Lake property, which is in the Golden Triangle, and right around this McClymont Fault, which is one of the four main targets that you guys are drilling in this program. Now, the headline number, Enduro intersects about 31 grams per ton gold over almost 9 meters. That also includes a little over 1% copper. Now, this is in the northeast extension of the McClymont Fault, about 170 meters northeast of the historic northwest zone along that fault. Can you give us a bigger picture on these or this single hole drill result, please?
Definitely. Oh, first, Corey, thanks for having me. I always enjoy chatting with you and with your followers. Yeah, so looking at the results we put out just in this last press release, you know, unfortunately, of course, there's only one drill hole. It's the only one that we've had back so far, but it's focused in this northeast extension area. And looking back a few months ago, when we were first talking about this in projections and our geological model and predicting where this mineralization was going to be, of course, we're quite happy with it. I think we predicted it almost to a T within about 10 or 15 meters of where it was suspected to be. So one, we're quite happy with our targeting and our strategy showing that, hey, this is there seems to be a method to this madness. But more significantly, and what's the most important thing to grab out of this besides the obvious, I mean, I think the numbers sort of speak for themselves, is the mineralization style. And what I mean by that, and why, you know, some people have called and said, and I know we were kind of even just chatting about this before we started the call, people have called and said, well, is this a new discovery? Like you're, you know, 170 meters is a pretty big step out for a high grade gold system, right? So some could consider it that. What I like to try and think of is all these systems are related to each other, right? And when you're in an environment as we are, the Golden Triangle, these all big arcs, you know, the skarn mineralization is related to epithermal or intrusion related veins which are related to porphyry systems. All these different words you hear being thrown around ties back into what we've been talking about for the last 4 or 5 months, the three mineralization styles. Getting back to the important observations with this mineralization is clearly different from the majority of the high-grade gold mineralization that we see further to the southwest. So that mineralization that's further southwest is more characterized by the skarn. That's what you hear us use the word skarn quite a bit. And these are broader 40 to 50 meter intercepts that we've been putting out that can be anywhere from 3 to 7 grams per ton. Whereas this, the interval that we've put out, the 8.85 meters of about an ounce, 31.09 with a percent copper, this is clearly, I'm going to use the word intrusion-related veins at this point, completely different from the skarn mineralization. And what we ultimately think is the source of gold that is going into this skarn horizon that we see further to the southwest, but we also are seeing it elsewhere as we move along the northeast extension. But we want that's really the message to drive home here but along with the obvious very high grades.
So, Cole, looking at the table that you guys included early on in the news release, that almost 9 meters of 31 grams per ton gold, that's within an even broader intercept of 28 meters of 10 grams per ton gold. You guys break down some individual intervals here of some very high grades. But there is obviously some areas here that it looks like there were some lower grade results that play into this overall almost 30 meter strike length here. What can investors take away to try to understand maybe some similarities to other projects that look or have shown holes like this?
Yeah, that's a great question, Corey. So getting back to the first bit you were mentioning with the 28.34 meter larger interval. So what you're seeing there is in our 9 meters, that's where these veins, they come up in swarms, right? You essentially have a, let's call it, you know, the main vein or sheeted veins, and they have these horsetails or veinlets. There's a bunch of different fancy or nicknames that people give these things, but they're coming up in swarms is the important part, where you have, you know, your highest, widest, best grades in the center, and then all these smaller parts of the system coming out to the side. So that's what that longer intercept is factoring in, is it's the same type of mineralization, but as you move further away from the main trunk, so to speak, you know, the branches get thinner, if that makes sense, and getting into your more 4 to 5 gram per ton material, as opposed to where you see our best one there is about 0.6 of 225 grams per ton gold with 4.9% copper. And you see, I make the comments, and I'm always careful when I try and make comparisons with other projects, but I think there's a lot of similarities to what we're seeing particularly in this hole, in what you see at the former Snip mine, which, of course, if you look at the regional trend along the McClymont Fault, it lines up quite well, you know, directly to the southwest in what's going on at Snip in that Quartz Rise area, which, of course, is Skeena and Seabridge. If you make some observations about Snip, I'm just going to give you some very basic ones. I look at what the width of the main Snip vein is, the grades it's running. So Snip, of course, produced about 1 million ounces of gold back in the 90s, had an average grade of 27.5 grams per ton. Main Snip vein itself was about a few meters wide. So if we're looking at this, okay, we have an 8.85 meter intercept. We don't know the true width. We can assume, as with pretty much, you know, no different than any other project, that the true width, of course, is going to be a little bit less than what the actual core length is, which puts you into a very similar width realm as to what Snip was. And then now let's look at what's our average grade run across that. We said 31.09 grams per ton gold. Well, Snip's average grade in production was 27.5. So ours is slightly higher grade we're seeing in here, but ultimately very close. And what did Snip compare to other epithermal or intrusion related? You know, there's some debate in that deposit as well. This term orogenic gets thrown around. I won't get into that. But it's the copper byproduct, in that there's within that deposit, there's a significant copper byproduct with lesser silver. That's the exact kind of mineralogy that we're seeing here, right? Of course, with our very high gold grades, lesser silver, but significant copper byproduct in with our high grade section. We're still looking at over a percent copper with an ounce gold. Lots of other geological similarities that I might be divulging too much if I get into, but they're intriguing at the very least, I would say.
Okay, well, Cole, let's talk about the bigger program here, because this was just one hole, and you even mentioned in the news release that it was rushed because of all the visible gold that you saw. You have 12 other holes that are drilling in this proximity in the northwest zone and in that northeast extension. These drill holes are outlined in figure 2. I know people are going to ask, you know what, if you rushed hole 9, is that the best we're going to see here? Are these other holes duds potentially?
Well, of course, I can't put speculation into what things are going to be, but I can tell you this. If we're going to drill something, it's because we have a high degree of confidence in what we're drilling. And you also look to it, referring to figure three, as you were. It's not like we're in a system that has been untouched, right? We're right beside a historic resource. Then we have a lot of data. We have a lot of work, the geophysics, geochemistry, that gives us a really good idea of what's going on. It's like driving back into what I mentioned at the beginning, 4 or 5 months ago when we'd started this process and the modeling, thinking, hey, where does this thing extend? What's going on? And it predicted it, I'll never use the word perfectly, but we're very happy with how it's worked in using this intersect that we just put out as an example. So we have lots of data that is important in our targeting in growth strategy, and we have a high degree of confidence in what we're drilling. So yeah, it's hard for me to answer that question without creating too much speculation, but
hey, fair enough. We will let the drill results lead the way then, right?
Exactly, right? That's how we want to do it. The numbers, in my opinion, will speak for themselves.
Exactly, and hopefully we'll get those back, sometime soon, but I know it's kind of out of your guys' hands. Those holes are in the assay labs. What other news can investors expect, as I understand now that drilling is wrapped up for this program? So a lot of drill results, but what else is the company going to be working on?
Yeah, so like you said, lots of drill results. We talked about this area. We've got more drilling, of course. So we said that the dozen holes in this area. We've got more drilling elsewhere in the McClymont area. We also managed to get just at the very end there, which I think some investors will be happy to hear, our first couple holes into the Chachi Cuba area. Still lots to come on the geochemistry, geophysics side, even beyond the drilling of that. We're also have a research study on the go for what's called geochronology age dating at UBC here in the Okanagan, which we're really excited to see the results from. But further to that, we're going to be quite active going into the winter. What's one of the main things that I've talked about that we want to accomplish for this project over the next 6 months is driving our cost per meter down. It's got significantly lower this year, but we can always do better, and we want to be the lowest cost per meter when it comes to greenfields exploration. So there's a lot of preparation that's on the go right now to get ready for that, so we'd be active in the winter on the project doing so, and that's going to give us an even earlier start time. Of course, COVID, like with a lot of other companies, affected our start time this year, but there's no reason that we can't be really bringing our start time back and working in the winter. A lot of people look at snow as an obstacle, but in reality, depending on the topography, and fortunately we have the right topography on our project, snow is actually our friend, because it gives us you're able to, of course, move equipment and things like that much easier on snow. No need for permitting roads or things like that. It's all zero disturbance and easy to do. So that's going to be our operational strategy moving forward, which is going to be at a significantly lower cost than traditional exploration on the project and in the Golden Triangle as a whole.
Okay, hey Cole, we're going to wrap it up there. A very encouraging start to this drill program. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I'm happy to reach out to Cole and get those answered for you. In full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Enduro Metals. I'm going to keep on following along as more news, more drill results hits the market, and to get any of your questions answered. So Cole, appreciate your time today. Have a great rest of your week.
My pleasure, Corey. Enjoy chatting with you.